around today. We're jumping right in God's word. And I don't know if we got the wrong scriptures. Okay, well, we read the wrong scriptures. I'm like, that's, so 4 and 5, it was supposed to be 14 and 15 and 4 and 5, you know, but hey, Sandra and I are both over 50, but anyway. So here we go. Let's read this together. Ready? John 10, 14 to 15. Here we go. You ready? I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep. My sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me, I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. Now, it's pretty important when you start looking at Scripture that you pay attention to certain things. You know what I'm saying? And so as you read that there, what do you see? What just jumps out to you? What jumps out to you when you first read this Scripture? He's good, yeah. We're going to have a lot of those. But there's one thing, and that's all good. I'm not saying that's bad, but there's one thing when you look at Scripture, one thing that should jump out at you when you read. What's that one thing? Okay, huh? The word know. How many times is it used there? 1, 2, 3, 4 times. That's important. When you read Scripture and you see the word, same word used multiple times, that has to draw your attention. You got to say, no, what's that no there for? And so that word no is, that word no there means, what it means is it denotes a love relationship. Now that's a, you know, K-N-O-W. 4 letters, but it's a huge word in this context. It denotes a love relationship. And so, wow, one word, no, denotes a love. How much, what else involved in a love relationship? It's a lot, right? It's plenty. And all we know that this, that Jesus, because of love, knows his own. You understand that? It says, I am the good shepherd, I know my sheep. Now, we could talk all day long about us being sheep. You know, we could have said, why couldn't we be a dog because they're so faithful and loyal? And why couldn't we be a cat because they're so smart? No, all through the Bible, we're called sheep. And I could talk a long time and show you all kinds of illustrations why that's not really a positive thing. Although they are cute when they're young and all that kind of stuff. But so he calls us his sheep, and Jesus says, I know my own. I know my sheep. I have this love relationship with him. Did you know that Jesus knows your name if you're one of his sheep? Matter of fact, there's a place in the Bible that says your name is where? Written on the palm of his hand. And you know what's really cool about names is that not only is your name written on the palm of his hand, but when you step into eternity, you're going to get a what? You're going to get a new name. You're going to get a new name. And that's awesome. I don't know what that's going to be, but I'll tell you what, it's going to be awesome. But he knows your name. He knows your nature. Now, that's a little challenging for me. God knows my nature. I'm kind of like, you know, I know God knows me, and I know he knows my nature, but, you know, I'm just like, I don't know if I want anybody else to know my nature. Because all of us are different, right? We're all, and then he knows our needs. He knows our needs. And so, his sheep, it says there, his sheep know me. So, the good shepherd, Jesus, knows the sheep, and it says, my sheep know me. Now, that's huge. Because of this love relationship, the sheep, us, we should know him. And people ask me all the time, well, I don't understand, I don't know, I don't listen. Well, the question you got always have to have is, are you one of the sheep? Are you one of his followers? And because when you become, and I know, but when you start walking with the Lord, yeah, when you first start walking with the Lord, you don't really recognize it. But the longer that you walk with this great shepherd, Jesus Christ, you will know his voice. Ask anybody who's been following him for a long time. See, when you first start following him, you hear a lot of voices. And then the longer you follow him, the longer you obey and you trust, you will hear his voice and you know how he speaks to you. And this is the good thing. He will never tell you anything that won't line up with this right here. He will never tell you anything that won't line up with this right here. You can trust that. And so we know him. We can experience his care. We can learn to love and trust him because we know him. And listen, it's the Father knows me, Jesus saying, the Father knows me. Because of love, he knows Jesus. The Father knows Jesus. And Jesus, because of love, knows the Father. See, this love, knowing, has to do with love. Love is the center of it all. John, the apostle that wrote the Gospel of John in the book of Revelation, said that if we love one another, God abides in us. And his love is perfected in us. His love is perfected in us. And so, you know, at that point, remember, knowing involves love, and love is defined in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Let me read this for you. Now, this ain't about a marriage. It's cool to read this at a wedding, but this is not about a marriage. This is about followers of Jesus Christ, knowing each other, loving each other. This is the definition he writes, Paul. If I speak of tongues and of men and angels but have not love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains but have not love, I am nothing. If I give away all I have, and if I deliver my body up to be burned but have not love, I gain nothing. Now, listen, let me explain that. The whole burning thing is about, that's more of a being martyred. Because that's what was happening back in those days. If I give myself over to be a martyr but have not love, I gain nothing. Now, here he gives the definition. See, Paul's going to show him. He says down here, he says, I'm going to show you still a better way. Because the Christian church in Corinth was struggling. And he says, I'm going to show you a better way. And here's what he said. This is the way of love. And he says, love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. I have that underlined in my Bible because, you know, I'm kind of that way sometimes. I mean, sheep are. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice in wrongdoing, but rejoices with truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things. Listen to this. Here's the finale. Love never what? Now, not human love. I'm not talking about human love. I'm not talking about some emotion or feeling. I'm talking about this God love that we see there between the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit and the people. It's a God love. It's a Holy Spirit love. It's supernatural. That's love. And so my question for you today is, do we really know each other in that form of love? Because that's what we're after. I'm not here today to get something from you. See, I'm here so that you can get something for yourself, this love. That's what I want. That's what I want people to know. That's what I want to experience. It's not like, oh, Scott wants something from us. I want something for you. I want you to be able to experience this kind of love, this kind of relationship between the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit and with each other. And so I was reading the other day an article, and I thought, wow, this is perfect. This explains it. I mean, it gives us an example how to do this. Because that's it. I mean, Scott, that really sounds good. That's all, you know. But Paul says, if I can do all these things, but I don't really love, I don't really work it out, I don't really live it out, then it's nothing. And so how do we live it out? And that's what we're trying to do. Relational stage of knowing people. That word knowing, remember, it connotes the meaning of love. Knowing people. Well, that's what we're doing. So stage one is general attraction. Hey. I saw my wife walking down the hall in high school. There's a country song, but I won't mention those lyrics. If y'all listen to country. And I said, hey, I'm generally attracted to her. But you know what's interesting is that we all run into people. We all meet people. And a lot of times, most of the times, we're either attracted to them, you know, not in the way I was for my wife, but, you know, I say, oh, yeah, I like that. That's a nice person. Or a lot of times, you know, it's a neutral ground. I'm like, oh, you know, that was a nice experience. So that's, and it's very surfacey. And so it's superficial. And as you get to know them, though, here's the problem. Excuse me. And it's this, and it's very neutral. It's surfacey. And the problem, the great thing about that is, you know, that's where people say, You know, or a lot of times if it's in a relationship, you fell in love or you had this kindred spirit, if you're a friend, all these kind of things, you know. But here's the next thing. The next stage followed by this is disappointment, stage two. Now listen to me. Here's what happens. So you start off with this superficial relationship, and the more you hang around them, the more you get to know them, pretty soon you start to see what? Yeah, their weaknesses, their cracks. I laugh at that because, man, I got a lot of cracks. I got a lot of weaknesses. I got a lot of flaws. If you've been hanging with me, I don't know if I'm just telling all you new people, you know. Just warning y'all about me. Every these other people have been around me for a while. I do have a lot. Good news is God is not finished with me yet. That's the good news. But so what happens is when you get to know them, you start to see the weakness, you start to see the cracks. And who doesn't have a weakness? Who doesn't have a flaw? Who doesn't have a crack? You know what? I've been saying this over and over. The problem we have is that they just sin differently than we do. But there are people that have a dark side. Now, don't get me wrong. There are people that have a dark side. There are people that have you ever run across people that said, you know what, I need to move away from them? So I'm not talking about this is everybody. I'm just talking about there's exceptions. The rules when you develop relations can follow this, but I'm talking about there is exceptions. There's people that are on the dark side, and I've ran into those people. And I know I had to move away from him. Thank God. Sometimes God saved me and moved me away from people. When I look back at them, I'm like, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. And now here's the problem, though. This stage two is disappointment. On a regular type of relationship when we're dealing with people, this is stage two, disappointment. Here's the problem, though. A lot of relationships, even marriages, they don't make it past stage two. You understand? And so I had to make this myself. Sorry about this. Here's what happens among a lot of things. Marriages, relationships, families, they don't make it to stage three and four. They make it to stage two, and they do this. I'm like, I am hitting the exit stage left, right? I'm out of here. And that's what happens. And I'm telling you, it happens in marriages. It happens with families. It happens with jobs. It happens with churches. You know, I've been around here, around the real church for a long time, and I got to tell you, I don't know how many people have said, I'm out of here. But that's not the way it's supposed to happen. And the relationships end, and I tell you, it's heartbreaking to see these happen. You see, stage three is acceptance. See, if you can get a relationship to stage three, you can say, you know what? Yeah, they got some flaws. Matter of fact, they disappointed me. Have you ever been disappointed? Who hasn't been disappointed? You've disappointed people. Our parents have disappointed us. We disappointed our children, our bosses. Everybody's been disappointed. Listen, if you haven't, you are going to be disappointed somewhere in your life. Let's just put it that way. You know what I'm saying? And so who hasn't? Don't take the exit. What we have to do is do the work of extending grace and understanding. You see, that's where we want to go. Acceptance means that you come to a healthy understanding of someone's strengths and their weaknesses. See, if you're only going to hang around me for my strengths, you're not going to get a whole lot of those because I only do a couple things well. My name is Scott. I'm pretty simple. Now, I got a lot of weaknesses. But when you accept one, you accept it. You accept a person with their strengths and weaknesses because you have strengths and weaknesses. And the goal is that you try to work together. Romans, listen to this. Acceptance. Romans 5:15-7 says this. Let's read this together. You ready? Therefore, accept each other. Accepted you. So that God will be given glory. If Jesus knows your name, knows your needs, created you, he understands your nature, and he accepted you anyway. He didn't accept you because you were like a good person. You know what I'm saying? At one time earlier in my life, I would have thought that, you know what? I'm a good guy, Jesus. You should let me in. I did. I probably thought that. You know what I'm saying? I thought I, you know, I had a whole lot of thoughts going on, so they weren't good thoughts. I thought I was a great guy, perfect neighbor. I thought I was, you know, all that kind of stuff. And it's not true. You see, that word accept there carries the meaning of receiving something or someone with special concern. Do it again? It's that love again, right? It's that you receive that person with special concern, with this love. It's like, you know, it's like bringing them in and loving them. It's like, come here. And bringing them close. Doesn't matter who they are or what their weaknesses are or what their social status is or how well they're dressed or what they drive or how much money they got. And the problem is that if we can't accept people, if we have a hard time accepting those, then we'll have a hard time having meaningful relationships. And I'm telling you, it goes all the way from families to marital relationships to jobs, to churches, to everything. It covers the whole gamut, every relationship. And if you caught that earlier, I don't think we're going back to that because my wife wasn't here and Jessica did the best she could with my slides, but stage four is appreciation. You see, we appreciate all the good things that you saw in that person in the first place. See, that's what we have to do. We have to get to that point. It's a beautiful thing when you can see the positive and you can see what the person can be like the Lord does, and then it's a beautiful thing to keep that in front of you instead of their flaws. You see, that's what makes marriages work. That's what looking at your child who's going in the wrong direction, that's what helps you love him. It's the same thing when you see a body of people, a group of people like here, and you go, oh. You know, I've seen pastors look at their people and say they just have disdain and disgust about them, and they never saw the possibilities. You know, when we sing that song, I almost stopped this. He's the God of the city. What's he say? What's that one chorus? What's that? There are greater things yet to come. I sing in that and I'm thinking, Lord, there is greater things yet to come in my life. There is greater things to come in this church's life. There are greater things to come in your life. Because there is no one like our God. And so when we see that person, when we see the people, when we see a church and see the good things, the things that God is doing and working through them, it's a beautiful thing. That's all I can say. The guy who wrote this article, he said, you know, if the stage one, if you compare that, that's like the first date. Stage four, this appreciation, is like the 50th wedding anniversary. When you see two people looking into each eyes. And that love, and they know they've been through 50 years, a journey. Because that's what it takes. It's work, it's a journey. So the question is, how do I work to create this relational community where I am known and where I know others? Well, we do that. First of all, we do it together, right? Is there anybody doing this? There is no I in church, right? I forget about team. There is no I in church. But somebody keeps saying, well, there's me and team. I forget team. There is no I in church. We do that together. We do it by coming today. We're doing, today is up. Today is all about us coming and worshiping up. And when we gather together in our impact groups or meet together in one or two or three, that's the end. That's where we work on community. That's where we be. That's where we can really experience the love and to be known and to know others. And then when we reach out, so it's up, it's in, and it's out. When we reach out as a group of people, we can experience that love as well. And that's how we're going to do this. And so our big thing is that we're doing this through. And if you're here today for the first time, we're doing this in a series that I'm preaching, but also in a study that we're having in our impact groups called Biblical Soul Care, Knowing People Well. Knowing people well. And I just want to say this. This is so important. because this is a training. Our goal is to have people understand. We're learning biblical soul care so that we can apply it to any relationship. This, how to help somebody's soul, how to speak into somebody's life. Let me tell you something. You can use that with your kids. You can use that with your family members, your husbands, your wives, with your coworkers, anybody. This is a principle that you, I'm going to tell you, you must learn. I'm willing right now. If you're not in a group and you want to learn this, you take this tear off and say, Pastor Scott, I will meet during the week. I will come to church. I will find a day. I'll find a day, and we'll teach this class to you if you're not in a group. Because I believe that this is so important. It's awesome. This, what we're going to do is we're going to take and understand our souls. We know our soul needs to be saved, but we need a healthy soul. And so many people come into the church, they get saved, and they have all this stuff waiting for them, and we have to help them discover it. We have to help them discover who they are in Christ and the riches they have in Christ, and let them be healed and be loosened from the bonds of financial pressures and relationship pressures and family pressures. We can do that with God's help. And so that's what we're trying to do. That's why we're studying this. So it's important. And that's what I said. I'm not trying to get something for you. I'm not trying to get something from you. I'm trying to get something for you. I want you to learn how to help people. Learn how to help people and help them have a healthy soul. So in the scriptures, what I was just trying to do earlier was do an exegesis of John chapter of that scripture. And so the idea of that is that we know for sure. We bring out the true meaning and to know the true meaning. And so we're supposed to do that with people. You understand that? We're supposed to know one another in this love relationship. And because of love, we're supposed to know our wives and our kids and the people we go to church with. Now, can we have that close relationship with everybody, right? No. I think of myself and I go, oh, Lord, there's so many people I want to help. There's so many people I want to come alongside. I can't do that. But you guys can. The church can. Our impact group. That's why we say, hey, people, get an impact group, because that's where I believe this can really happen. And then it can spread out to your families and to the people that you have close contact. You can't have this relationship with everybody, but you can have it with some, and you can be prepared to bring it to whoever God has in your life. And so what we're supposed to do is we're supposed to know our wives and kids. And so we do that. We do this by... one of the ways we do this is by give attention to them and their needs, and by asking and listening and caring. You see, you can't do that with everybody, but you can do it with some. And so if we have our impact groups, is a great place to do this. And then either anytime you get together inside your home or with other people, we can do this. Give attention to them and their needs by asking, listening, and caring. You know, it's been said, people don't know what you know until they know that you care, right? Proverbs 18:13 says this, he who answers before listening, that is folly and his shame. I got to tell you, my nature is to be that person. You said that too? Yeah. Yours nature's there? Yeah. Thanks for admitting that. It is. I don't say that. That's folly and shame. I'm trying to get better. Lord, help me. So the problem with that is that it promotes these obstacles. There's three obstacles to godly assessment. See, when we listen, we care, we learn and care for them, that means we're kind of assessing the situation. And so one that we do is sometimes we're clueless. Sometimes we assume instead of seeing and knowing. My wife tells me a lot of times, she's told me this more than once, and anytime you assume something, just think of those first three letters, honey. Is that an amen back there? That's the first amen I got today. And then we're clueless. And then we get to be careless. We advise before we understand. You ever give somebody the wrong information? So many times we assume we know what's going on, right? How many sides are there to a story? How many? Multiple. Yeah, I wish years ago it might have been two, but it's not two anymore. Now it's multiple sides of all the stories. Now it's complex people's lives are. So quick judgment then leads to bad advice. And then compromising is, remember we talked about addressing the fruit, not the root, is that the fruit is what comes out of the tree. The trunk is really the motives, and the roots are where the real challenge is. That's where the problem is. So, you know, just for example, I just said, you know, I'm like, oh, let's give a good example. So maybe you got a friend that drinks, you know, I didn't know this, you know, I knew this and I know it now, but Wisconsin, you know, the number one, I thought it was beer, the number one drink in Wisconsin is brandy, right? Y'all know that, right? I'm like, who are all these people drinking brandy? I don't know any of them. I mean, I know a lot of people drink beer, but not a lot of people. So you got this person who drinks brandy all the time, drinks it every day. And so what you tell them, they tell you, you know, I got this problem drinking brandy. And the person says, well, you know, I think your problem is you just got to switch from drinking brandy to beer. Or wine. There's some good advice, right? You don't even listen to what's going on. You say, yeah, just switch. Or then, you know, to take it down to another level, just here's another one. How about just drinking on the days that end with S or start with S? Yeah, because, you know, I've heard that advice before. Oh, you know, oh, Terry, what you do? Stop drinking Monday through Friday and just drink on the weekends. I've heard this before. Is that good advice? Or how about this one? So we were clueless. We said switch from hard liquor to beer and wine. We're careless. We advised before really understanding, and then finally we never addressed the root of the problem. We never asked ourselves what's causing someone to self-medicate. You know. And we could use all kinds of examples, right? We could use food. We could use work. We could use everything. You know. Hey, I got an issue with coffee. I know that. Caffeine. And we could have used anything, but I mean, it just, so what we want to do is we don't want to be clueless, we don't want to be careless, we want to have these essentials to a godly seven. So when we're working with someone, we want to watch for the signpost. And you say, well, Pastor Scott, what's that? Well, a signpost is when somebody's talking to you and you got to watch, are they in the game? Are they really out in left field? Or, you know, where are they? You know what I'm saying? Where are they? That would be congruence, where you're watching them to see, and then when they're talking, you try to figure out what's their tone of voice. Is it anger? Is it distrust? You try to listen to how they're saying it, and then always look for people's facial expressions. You know what I'm saying? You got it. So people can be, how you doing? I'm fine, you know. But tells by the tone of the voice and the look on their face, they're not fine, are they? We know something's wrong. And so we have to be concerned. And so we need to watch for these signposts. The second thing is we need to ask heart-revealing questions. Now, you're all going to learn this in this class. I'm just giving you an overview so that when you get there, you're not going to be, what's this? We're supposed to ask heart-revealing questions. And if you got the notes, they're in there. I didn't put them up here because I really couldn't fit them up there on the screen, but it really, how's this one? So when we understand that there's a problem going on, we've watched their facial expressions, we've watched their tone of voice, we say, hey, can you describe the situation? Or what were you thinking or feeling? Or what did you want? How did you respond? What was the outcome or the consequences? And what is God trying to teach you? You see, when we start asking the heart-revealing questions and listen to understand, they know we care. And then, listen to this. Listen, it says that the third one there says we listen and understand. Proverbs 25 says this, the purpose in a man's heart is like deep water. Boy, isn't that true? It's like deep water. But a man of understanding, a man or woman of understanding, a man, woman, or a young person of understanding, they can draw it out with God's help. If you're listening, if you're a follower of Jesus Christ and you're listening, you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you can draw that out. So if I ask you and I'm sitting down and I see a tone of voice, I see a posture and some facial expressions and something's going on, I'm going to ask you, what's going on in your life? Instead of saying, how's the weather? Let me ask this. What's going on in your life? And after listening and listening, I discerned it. So are you telling me that God, you feel that God has forgotten you or that you feel alone? And what would I tell him? What would you tell him? You got some place you could take him to tell him that they're not alone? Huh? Yeah. What's that? Yeah. What do we know a scripture? Does anybody know a scripture? That's right. Jesus says, "Lo, I'm with you till the end of the age." Joshua, he says, "Be strong and courageous." Right? For what? I am with you. There's all kinds of scriptures that we can point out to take people and say, look, you see this? That's the Bible. But here, I am. I am God's man. I am God's woman. And God is working through me. And I am with you now, and you are not alone. Ladies and gentlemen, this is not rocket science. It's not. God can use you and use us. And so what do? We tell that person the scriptures. We pray for them. We tell them that God is what? Faithful. God's faithful, it says, all through the scriptures. We sang it today. God is faithful, and he will walk through you with those problems. As a matter of fact, not only will God, I am God's hands. I'm his feet. I'm his lips. I'm his mouth. I am going to walk with you through this trial. And we're going to pray every day. Matter of fact, take this scripture here. Take this, a scripture that says God will never forsake you or leave you. Or John, or in 1 Corinthians 10:13, God says, you know what? This will not overcome you, doesn't he? He says, this temptation, this trial will not overtake you. And we can walk with that person. So we identify the problem. We insert the truth and grace. I'm so excited. Matt is going to be preaching the truth and grace. And he's going to come and start preaching us the whole subject. How to take that scripture. He's going to detail a little bit more. How to take God's word with grace and this love like Jesus did. You know, this is Jesus' strategy. Isn't that what Christ did? He would talk to a person. He would understand what's going on in them, and then he would help them. And so that was the strategy that Jesus used. I think that's good enough for me. Listen. We're on a journey. I hope you're all with me. We're on a journey. We're on a journey to learn how to care for each other, to care for our souls, so we can experience this real, this knowing and being known, this real love relationship, real relationships, this heaven that we can have on earth. See, that's what it's supposed to be. Don't do this alone. First thing anybody does is when they have a trial or something goes on, they try to do it alone. I'm telling you, I'm warning you today, do not do this alone. Don't try it alone. It'll be harder or you'll even fail. And our mission, and we can't do it alone, our mission is to lead people to life-changing, ever-growing relationship with Jesus Christ, because not only can we save their soul, but so that their souls can experience the abundant life here on earth, so that when you step into eternity, you've been living heaven all the time. Granted, it's going to be pretty awesome when you do step on that side. But so our mission is to reach out to the souls of the children of this community and the adults. And then, who knows, where does God take things small? He takes the weakest things, the smallest things, to do great things through. Greater things is yet to be done in your life and in this church. So I invite you to join us today. And again, if you want to go through this, I know some people are new, some people are in a group. If you want to go through this biblical soul training, because that's what it is, we're training us. This is a training. My job is to equip and train this church. This is a training. If you want to do this, fill out this tag. Say, I'm interested. We will contact you and try to figure out something to get you involved. So I invite you to join us today. So here we go. Psalm 107:2. Let's read this together. You ready? The Lord redeemed you. Then speak out. Tell others he has redeemed you. Who's your enemies? Yeah. It's not ISIS. It's not Ebola. It's just, there's some people out there that do want to hurt us. But most of our enemies are spiritual in nature, and those are real enemies. And so, has the Lord redeemed you? I hope so, man. If he hasn't, I'm going to tell you right now, he can. You just call out to God, call out to Jesus Christ and say, hey, you know what? That's what happened to me. I just said, hey, Jesus. Well, I didn't really say, hey, Jesus, but I said, Jesus. Let me get a little more serious here. I said, Jesus. Your worship team, if you want to come up, that'd be great. And Dwayne, where's Dwayne at? Dwayne, when you pray, you and Bonnie pray for people over there in the corner. I just laid there one night, and I knew that something wasn't right. I was missing something. I wanted purpose in my life. I didn't know what it was. I didn't understand it at that time. And I could be honest with you. I don't fully understand God right now. But I'm farther down the road. And I said, okay, then faith is believing the word of God no matter how I feel, how you feel, because God promises a good result. And I stepped out in faith and I said, Jesus, save me. Come into my life. And that's what I did. And God changed my life. And so I'm just saying, and listen to this. So when you are redeemed, what are you supposed to do? Tell others. Tell others. So, all right. That's your challenge for today. So I want to take a couple minutes here. I'm not very good at celebrating. I'm good at planning celebrations, but I am not very good at celebrating. You know what I'm saying? I just don't do so. I'm a worker. So I have to. I'm working, and I get so busy doing so many things that I have to take my head up once in a while. And I was at a conference yesterday, and the guy says, "You know what? We need to celebrate everything. How much celebrating do you do in your church?" And I'm like, I'm the leader. I'm not good at celebrating, and so we don't do a lot of celebrating. So you know, that's what today we're gonna do some celebrating. So let's think about this for a second. The last couple weeks. So when I say something, I'm gonna give you the freedom of applause, or cheer, or whatever you do. I do this at funerals sometimes. This is awesome. A couple weeks ago, we had a double-digit offering. Yeah, go ahead. Yeah, you can celebrate. Go ahead. Yeah. Amen. A double-digit offering is that normally we won't have single digits, you know. Last week, the 2 week we had, you know. So it was. Yeah. Normally it's, you know, $3,000, $4,000, $5,000. It was more than that in the double digits. I don't know. It was 10 or 14 or something. 14. Do you know? Last Saturday we had 45 women. I guess someone. I don't know. It was a bunch of women. I don't know how many. It was. I know one thing, I wouldn't want to win in every room, but anyway, that's a whole other story. We had all these women in the back. You know why they were gathering? So they could know one another and be known. You see, that's why they gathered. It's a love relationship, and it's so they can know one. We had 45 women back there in that back room. Let's celebrate that. Yeah, thank you very much. Okay. Monday night, listen to this. Monday night, we went down to the fire hydrant. I don't even know if they have the fire. We went to the fire department, all right? We went to the fire department. Monday night, we went to the fire department, and we fed. How many people were there? How many people? Cricket, how many people? Cricket, hello. 35 men. They were having their annual meeting, and we've been doing this for a while. You know, one of the reasons why Dwayne and Bonnie are here, because several years ago, we went down there and threw a dinner out for them. Matter of fact, it was Bill's home group. That went down and we did a dinner down there. They gave me a couple minutes. They never, you know, they're not going to give me in too long to talk. You know what I'm saying? They gave me a couple minutes, and it was after that Dwayne came up and said, hey, what's happening over here? And so we go down to the fire department. We fixing this great meal, soups and salads and ice cream, and we had partners with that. And the guy says, I came in late, and the guy says, they're getting ready. I said, the chief says, Scott, why don't you say prayer? And I said, well, oh, can I say this first? I said, you know, you guys are kind of like Jesus. You're kind of like you're like what God, kind of like the Bible. And they're like, what? I said, yeah, because you rescue people. It don't make no difference what color they are, how much money they got, what they drive. You rescue people. And I said, that's what the Bible, that's a principle of the Bible. That's Jesus and God. And they're all looking at me like, oh, boy. And we thanked them for that. That food was a great, and you all who give, that touched their hearts and touched their lives. Well, that was an awesome event. Let's celebrate that. Yeah. So Monday night, the reason why I was late, because I went to the city planning commission. And I had to sit there And just so your information, we're going to have a miniature light, we're going to have a miniature black light golf course up at the uptown. So that, I'm just telling you, that's general information that I learned while I was there. There's going to be indoor miniature black light golf course uptown sometime soon in the near future. So I had to sit through that and listen to all the questions about that before it came to our turn to vote on whether they would allow us to use the movie theater. City had to vote on that. The vote was passed. We get to go to the movie theater. Yes. You can celebrate that. Did I miss anything? Did I miss anything? I don't want to leave anybody out. Did I miss something that we needed to celebrate? And those are pretty, that's just happening. I mean, God is working in people's lives, and I celebrate that. I want to celebrate. We want to celebrate, continue to celebrate on a regular basis. This year, this month, October, is the 17th year that I've been in full-time ministry. Yeah. That could have ended two Mondays ago. I was driving down the road in the left lane doing 65. It could have been doing 70. I don't know. I was in the left lane. I was just following traffic officer. And a lady in front of me threw on her brakes, and I threw my brakes on. And thank God it was only a fender bender. But my ministry could have came to an end right there. I thank God for that. I thank God for that. Hallelujah. I get it. I get some more time. So it's awesome. God is good. And so I just want you to know that God is working. I want to celebrate more stuff. So I'm going to be looking for a director of celebration. So here we go.